President Obama heads to Iowa and Arizona today to sell his vision for the economic future. What do local Republicans think?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. President Obama is on the road today, highlighting his plan for the economy, and his economic agenda was the focus of his State of the Union address last night.
Think about the America within our reach, a country that leads the world in educating its people. An America that attracts a new generation of high-tech manufacturing and high-paying jobs.
President Obama said he wants to encourage more manufacturing here in the U.S., wants to bring jobs back to the country. He wants more training for workers, more help for struggling homeowners. Republican Representative David Schweiker from Arizona is with us now by phone. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
First, I want to ask you about the President's State of the Union address last night. What did you hear that you liked?
Some of the rhetoric was actually very hopeful, which was nice to have something that was upbeat. I appreciated the discussion of, you know, jobs, and that's actually where our economic growth comes from. But I was actually a little sad that much of what was said had very little policy and therefore was a bit hollow.
Now, he's going to be in your district later today to talk about jobs. What would you like to hear him talk about on that policy front?
President Obama will be coming through Arizona, which we appreciate him visiting. He's also going to be visiting a new Intel facility, which I believe has almost $6 billion of capital put in it. But that's a facility that's been in the planning stages for years. And in many ways, they're making those investments despite much of the policy of the last 2 years.
But are there specific policies you'd like to see to encourage job creation?
One thing I'm very hopeful on, and because I'm finding this also from a number of Democrat House members, the willingness to discuss rebuilding this tax code. Well, I think there's a common agreement that the tax code has almost too many lobbyist-created provisions and needs to be broader with fewer carve-outs, and doing that would make it also fairer.
Now, shifting gears away from the State of the Union, things were pretty contentious in D.C. last year. A lot of debates came close to actually shutting the government down a few times. Do you think 2012 is going to be another year of the same?
I somewhat do, though understand the debt is now the issue that drives everything. The debt has skyrocketed. It's massive and it's exploding even more, you know, with the reality that the baby boom population now is turning 65. We have to step up and deal with these large-scale issues. And my fear is much of the speech we heard last night is just working around the outside margins and didn't step up and deal with the 900-pound gorilla in the room, which is entitlements.
What do you say to voters, though, who are frustrated that things just aren't getting done in Washington right now?
I ask them to call their U.S. senators. When you consider the House of Representatives have sent almost 30 jobs bills over to the U.S. Senate, and they just languished there. My bill personally went out with a huge bipartisan vote, and it still languishes in the U.S. Senate.
Before I let you go, I want to ask one more question. That is, Congressman Giffords just resigned her seat. I understand you actually came from that ceremony. What's her departure mean to the people of Arizona?
It's a bit of sadness, but I think there's also the second part, which is joy, and that is on how well she's doing. I had the pleasure of walking Gabby down the aisle, and she has that sparkle in her eyes. She still has the grin. Her rehabilitation looks like she's doing amazingly well. So it's sort of that mixed blessing of the sadness to lose her, but the joy she's doing so well.
Representative David Schweiker of Arizona, thanks so much.
And thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed this morning. The Nasdaq is up 0.5%. The Dow is up 58 points at 12,617. The S&P is down 0.2%. The Mortgage Bankers Association says applications for home loans fell last week, in part on rising interest rates. But don't expect those rates to jump dramatically anytime soon. Later today, Federal Reserve policymakers will tell us where they think interest rates will go in the next few years. Many expect the rate will stay low until 2014.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. and by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Apple had a huge holiday season. It sold 37 million iPhones in 90 countries in the last 3 months of 2011. The U.S. market is its biggest, but some of the strongest sales growth has been in China, where economists say the company could and should be performing even better. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from China.
Yesterday, in a news conference broadcast on the web, Apple CEO Tim Cook had this to say about the China market for iPhones and iPads.
China is an extremely important market for us, and we continue to look at how to grow it further.
Sean Ryan, head of China market research in Shanghai, says from the ground in China, it sure doesn't seem like Apple treats China like an important market.
They never have enough product and enough retail points of sale in China to cater to the huge demand for their products. They only have 5 stores in mainland China selling the iPhone.
The advice to customers outside Apple's Beijing store when the iPhone 4S launched 2 weeks ago? Go home. A near riot ensued. Apple reportedly has plans to build 25 more stores in China. How many would it take to keep up with demand? Ryan says his firm has done its own research. The verdict? 100. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, Walmart has announced an American Idol-style contest for new products. According to USA Today, the company is pitting small businesses against each other, at stake a spot on shelves at Walmart stores around the country. Among the contenders so far, zombie-repellent body washes. They're plastic cookie dippers that facilitate your late-night Oreo and milk cravings. A tool called the Tuna Squish, which allows you to drain a can of tuna fish without getting tuna juice on your fingers. And one of my favorites, puppy Uggs. Little tiny booties for your fashion-forward dog. Yeah, they may be a little frivolous, but they are pretty cute. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Here's the Arab Spring, seen by an occupier.
People in Egypt are really putting their lives on the line. We're not facing the same kind of violence.
And Occupy, from where an Egyptian protester sits.
And I don't see what's happening in the States, nor Greece, and this Arab Spring as detached.
I'm Kai Rizdal. A dialogue on protest next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.